Hey, what's up, podcast? It's Jeff. And before we jump into this awesome episode of Teach Better Talk, I wanted to give you a little preview of a couple of the sessions that are coming to the Teach Better Conference this November 8th and 9th. If you're not already registered, you can go over to teachbetterconference.com, see all the amazing speakers and presentations that we have coming, and also get your registration. Make sure you use discount code PODCASTTALK to save $50. Here are just two of the sessions that you will be able to come see as told by the presenters bringing them to the Teach Better Conference. I hope to see you in November.
Hey, y'all. I'm Karen Daly from Greenville, South Carolina, originally from Ohio. I would love for you to sign up for my class. It is on teaching middle schoolers to change from inside out. Some of the topics that we'll be talking about is, how are you able to teach if the student is not in your classroom? If they are trouble students that spend most of their time in in-school suspension or out-of-school suspension, they're not learning in your room. So let's figure out some ways and some strategies to keep them in your room and out of trouble. Make sure you sign up for my session. Thanks.
Hey there, it's Kevin Butler from sunny Los Angeles, California, and I can't wait to see you at the Teach Better Conference this November. I am excited to be presenting my Creating the Experience workshop, where I'll be sharing ways to make content-rich material into engaging and authentic learning experiences your students will love and remember. My session will also include a behind-the-scenes look at my own classroom simulations, interactive lessons, games, resources, teacher hacks, and stories from my 17-year career as a teacher, as well as a few surprises and even some giveaways. If you haven't registered yet for the Teach Better Conference, head over to their website at teachbetterconference.com. I will see you in Ohio.
You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 117 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Hewer, and as always, I'm with my goofy friend, Jeff Gargas.
Goofy, huh? I'm goofy now?
Well, we went goofy because that's actually how Joshua described you, and so I had to use his word.
I'm guilty. I won't even fight it at this point.
I mean, we essentially had like one of my favorite edu celebrities on the podcast this week. So I like tried to be an adult and I didn't fangirl out and, you know, it's no big deal, but no kidding, Jeff, like we were on his podcast about a week ago or so. Mm-hmm. And it was like a bucket list that he interviewed us. It was a big deal.
Really? See, I like Josh too. Like, he's a cool dude. Like, he's a lot of fun.
Do you know that we get to see him in like just a few days?
Oh, I know. So Joshua Stamper, if you guys don't know who we're talking about, Joshua Stamper is coming out to the Teach Better Conference, which is like 3 days away, four, 3 days? What? How many? It's, I don't know. It's not many days away.
It's not many.
It's starting on Friday. It's this Friday, Saturday. I cannot believe that we're actually there at this point.
Oh, we are there. So stop freaking out and get excited.
You know what that means, Ray?
What?
It means I get to see you in 2 days.
I know, dude. I'm coming in and you're going to pick me up from the airport and I'm going to be dancing with my luggage outside and we're going to hang out nonstop. You're going to be so annoyed with me.
Yeah. Already there.
Oh, come on, buddy.
No, I'm super excited about the conference. Obviously, we're still getting registrations rolling. You can still register right now. There's a few spots left. Teachbetterconference.com. Use the code PODCASTTALK to save $50 off your 2-day registration. Come out and hang out with us and hang out with our guests for this episode, Joshua Stamper. But Ray, one thing I wanted to ask you about something. What?
Wait, but I want to ask you about something. What? Why do you always get to ask the questions?
I don't know, because I'm the host and you're the co-host.
Whoa, no way. I'm the host. I do all the work.
What do you want to ask me, Ray?
I want to bring up a very sad topic, but I don't want you to get like depressed. I have a real question for you.
Okay.
What if, and I know this is a huge what if our listeners aren't able to make it?
Sad question, but completely understandable because we understand, obviously, you got to get here. There's the money involved and you can't always get the time off from school. Schools won't always send you. There's a lot of other reasons. Maybe you're going to another conference. That's okay too. There's a lot of amazing conferences going on. So the biggest thing, the easiest way, Ray, to stay connected to the conference, if you aren't able to come, is to just follow the hashtag TeachBetter19. I would also follow Teach Better just because some people might forget the 1-9 on there, but Teach Better 19 is the official hashtag for it. Go follow that. That's both on Twitter and on Instagram. And then I think just get connected with us. We're at Teach Better Team on all the different platforms. We are really pushing hard for people to be sharing all over social media using the hashtag. We've got our team sharing. We're gonna. There will be, I'm sure of it, live video streaming at various different points, if not all the way through the conference. Who knows? You'll be able to actually probably catch some of the different talks and everything like that via either videos or live videos or at least pieces of it. So you can definitely follow along that way. I think that's the best way to do it. We are not doing any kind of recorded sessions or anything this year. That's a next year thing. But I think the best way, Ray, is just connect with us on social media, connect with the hashtag TeachBetter19. And if you want to go over to TeachBetterConference.com, go follow all the different presenters that we have, the amazing educators we have coming out. Follow them on social media too, because then you're going to get their feed and their take on things and what they're sharing and stuff like that. I think that is the absolute best way to do it. And then you can also follow podcasts like Joshua's podcast, like Jake Miller's Duct Tape, Educational Duct Tape podcast, and what's Nick's podcast? Because I'm going to forget
Learning
the name,
right? Learning Through Leading.
Learning Through Leading. It was on my tip of my tongue. So they're going to be there doing live shows. So then the next couple of weeks after that, you're going to get some replays of some awesome interviews and ideas and stuff. We may even sit down and do a couple Teach Better Talk special ones that we'll get up, Ray. I think would be really cool. But honestly, social media, follow the hashtag. That's the way to get involved. And then, you know, we're going to get the details for next year out as soon as possible so you can register super early. How's that?
Oh my God, that's so exciting. We're doing
Start
a conference
saving up.
Next year?
Well, I think so. We'll see what everybody says after this one.
We just announced it to our listeners, so I guess we're doing it.
Let's see what everybody says after this one. If everyone wants us to, I think, yeah, why not, you know?
Here's my challenge. If our listeners right now aren't going to make it this year, but they're making it a priority to figure out next year, we're going to have to work our butts off to top this lineup, because I'm not quite sure where you go from here when you have these outstanding people all in one room. So we'll be working for the next year to try and up this lineup.
I'm good with that. And you can work for the next year to save up the money, to plan the days and get there and make sure to join us and stuff. But that's the way to do it, Ray, man. Hey, you know, it's if you're listening and you're unable to make it, we are going to miss you because we love you and you love your support. And we wish you could be there, but we will do everything we can to share as much as possible out of social media so that you can at least follow along that way and be involved and get in the conversation. We're going to have a screen that's literally just projecting all those tweets and everything from that hashtag. So you can actually interact with us via that hashtag if you want. And that I think is pretty cool as well. So
absolutely. I'm so excited. I will try to be live for 48 hours. I promise.
You're going to go live 40. I like that challenge.
Why not? Like I could Let's be live with like, put the phone in my pocket and just walk around and be live for 48 hours.
That's, I like it. Maybe we should do that. Let's both go live on our personal Twitters and just go live for the entire time.
Okay. You're joking, but for real, because Saturday night, my flight on Sunday morning is at like 4 a.m. So I might as well not sleep. We just might as well be up networking the whole experience. Well,
and you're not gonna be able to sleep because you have to walk to the airport, because I'm not driving to the airport that early.
You are. But, you gotta drive you, dude.
So anyway, I'm gonna make Joshua drive you. So let's talk about that for a second. So the other reason we're super excited is because this guy's coming out to the conference as well. He's not only bringing his podcast, but he's speaking, and he tells us a little bit about what he's speaking on during this episode. So we're super excited. So Joshua Stamper he's a middle school assistant principal in Texas. He was a classroom educator and a coach, an athletic coach for 6 years. He was a middle school taught art. Has a really cool, I think, story of how he sort of found his way from art to different positions within his district and his school, and then eventually becoming an assistant principal in his school. And what that entails, I really like his story, and I wasn't aware of it before today. But Josh was also—he's a podcaster, he's a blogger, he does leadership coaching, and he presents all over the country as well. So super dynamic guy, really dives into some stuff. I really enjoyed learning more about him. I'm so excited for him to come out to the conference. Ray, anything you want people to grab out of this episode before we jump in?
I just hope you soak it all in, because he's an amazing guy. Make sure you go subscribe and rate and review his amazing podcast.
All right, and here's episode 117 with Joshua Stamper.
Hey everyone, it's Ray. We're going to get right back to the episode, but we have to talk about Mastery Chat real quick. Hashtag Mastery Chat is our conversation every single week over on Twitter, happening Thursday nights at 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. I never thought a Twitter chat could be more intense, but holy cow, do I love Mastery Chat nights. Really rich discussion, educators from across the world, and I always leave with a new idea that I'm ready to use in my classroom Friday morning. Don't forget to mark your calendars for Thursday at 8 o'clock Eastern, and we will see you over on Twitter. Now let's get back to the episode.
All right, we're here and talking with Joshua Stamper. And Joshua, it's so awesome to have you on the podcast because we were just on your podcast not that long ago. We've been connected for a long time, a lot connected to the fact that we're both edupodcasters and we Fox all the time. And we've chatted a bunch, you and I, individually about just how to, you know, different things within the podcasting world. You're coming out to the Teach Better conference, which at the time that this comes out is just a few days away at that point. And you're actually bringing the podcast, Aspire Podcast, out to the conference and doing some live sessions. So that's super cool as well. So super excited to have you on and dive into things, man. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling great. It's so much fun to have actually be on the flip side and be on the answering the questions instead of asking the questions. It's a little bit weird.
Oh, I think you're going to be an awesome guest. So don't be nervous. So, Joshua, I want to start us off by having our listeners kind of learn about you and all that you do outside of your amazing podcast. So would you mind kind of sharing how you typically answer the question of what you do?
Oh, that's a big question. But I'm an assistant principal at a middle school, so grades 6 through 8 in a North Texas middle school. And so with that role, of course, I do a whole host of things on the campus. But I have half the alphabet, so half of the campus, we have about 950 students, so half of those are mine, and I get to, you know, do my very best to guide them every single day.
I love it. And Josh, I know we've talked about this a lot, and in the roles that you've had in your career and worked your way up to being assistant principal and stuff, I know you've had some plenty of ups and downs, challenges, and ins and outs. So can you share with us a time that you've had a failure in your life? Kind of take us there with you. What happened? Why was it a failure? How did that make you feel? How'd you overcome it? What'd you take away from it?
Sure. So kind of with leadership in general and getting to the position I'm at right now, I definitely had some failure. And when I was a teacher, I was an art teacher and a coach. So that's an odd combination in itself. But I really had to prove to my campus and then also to the district in regards to, you know, being an elective teacher, that I could be an instructional leader and that I was getting outside of my classroom and proving that I could lead at a greater scale. And so I proved that to my campus. And my campus, I had a mentor on the campus, my assistant principal at the time, and had a lot of wonderful opportunities and really proved myself through my actions. But it was going to the district and really sitting down at the table with a whole host of different people at the district level and trying to prove that I could go beyond my own subject matter and be able to be an instructional leader. And so with that, I remember sitting at the table and answering questions about what I would do, but it wasn't really about what I had done in a grander scale. And so I did receive failure because I didn't actually get put into the administrative pool the first time I went and put in my paperwork and went in front of the district and had my interview. So I remember getting that letter a couple weeks past that time that I had the interview, and I was just completely defeated because I felt like I had done so much on the campus and experienced so much. I just really didn't know what to do at the time. So I would definitely say in my professional career, that was probably the lowest I felt because I had worked so hard. I had gotten my master's. I was certified to be a principal. However, I wasn't given the opportunity to move forward.
So how'd you overcome that? What'd you take away from that? What was the lesson learned?
So that I kind of had a crossroads. I had a crossroads as far as deciding if I wanted to continue and try again, or because, you know, once you apply, then you have to go a full school year again until you can apply again. And so my principal at the time was retiring. So I was really struggling because she had given me so many opportunities to sit in the meetings and really experience the role of an administrator firsthand. So I was getting firsthand experience and she was retiring. And so I didn't know what that would look like with my new principal. And so there was a lot of apprehension because obviously I was defeated by the rejection of the district, but then also I didn't really know going forward if I was going to have someone coming in that believed in me as a leader. And so I really did have to prove myself within that first couple of months. But honestly, they called me the office rat. And I know it's not very like a wonderful nickname, but what it meant really was it was a nickname of admiration because they knew that I was going to be there at every waking moment. So any off period before school, after school, anytime I possibly could, I was in there and just absorbing what the administrators were doing. And beyond that, the principal, the new principal at that time, really gave me some amazing advice about, yes, you're doing everything at the campus level and we see that and we believe in you. However, what are you doing beyond our campus? What are you doing at the district level to really prove yourself to the folks that are making the decisions? And that was something that was a disconnect for me because when I came to the table, I was talking about things that I would do instead of what I have done, both on the campus level mm-hmm. and at the district level. And so that new principal that I had the opportunity to work with, he really opened up my eyes to not only affecting my campus, but what am I doing even on a greater scale and affecting my district.
Very cool. I love that. So let's flip that around now. Tell us about a success that you've had. And this can be something big or something small, but tell us what happened. Why was it the success for you? And what did you take away from that experience?
Sure. So I think with those 2 years of really honing in on my campus, I built a program that was kind of two-tiered. It was a peer group that was there for instruction purposes. So every Tuesday, Thursday morning, I provided breakfast and I selected about 150 students that looking at their data to identify who really needed that additional support. But then there was a second tier to that where I had our PTA and community members partner with our school to do a mentorship program. So it was kind of a dual program. So the students were also, you know, they're getting that instruction with their peers. However, they're also getting their social emotional needs met through a mentor, someone who was in the community that was successful and that was able to provide life lessons to them. So that was a 2 year process of constructing that. And just the data that I collected with that just showed immense growth for those students that were really diligent about participating in both programs. Obviously, if they were just with a peer tutoring group, they were seeing growth with their grades. However, the ones that really participated in both programs, we saw exponential growth.
I think that's so amazing. How did you even begin by setting that up?
So that was one of the things with my principal that I constructed to show how I could impact the campus beyond my own classroom. It, you know, as an art teacher, there is data. However, it's not the same as an English teacher or a math teacher. So I wanted to show that I was able to disaggregate the data that was at the campus level to really show that I'm meeting the needs. And not just academically, but I wanted to show them that I could get them, you know, because I don't know if you've ever heard me, and even like what I'm going to talk about at the Teach Better conference is restorative practices. I'm really passionate about the aspects of the student that are beyond academics, because I feel like it's so important. So I still had that as a passion of mine as a teacher. And I was even mentoring kids just on my own as a coach and just finding kids that maybe fell between the cracks or were having a tough time with their peers. You know, I always found time to mentor them. But I just felt like, well, if I'm doing that with one kid and I'm seeing such great difference, how could I magnify that to make it so that, you know, 100 kids could be touched by that, or 150 students? So I wanted to touch the academics and the data. However, I felt like I was seeing growth with students just as a mentor. So how could I build a program so that more students could be touched?
Yeah, you know, Joshua, before I go into our next question about kind of what's keeping you excited and fueling your fire in education, would you mind kind of sharing about your presentation that you're bringing to the Teach Better conference on restorative practices?
Yeah, so there's two sessions. I have a 15-minute session and a 45-minute session. The 15-minute session is going to be more on trauma-informed practices based on my experience as a foster care parent. And just the training that we received was through Karen Purvis from TCU, and just the impact it had on me as a parent and my wife, but then also how I was able to transition that information as a parent into the campus, and really how that just changed my outlook on student discipline in general. The restorative practices is going to be in line with that, but that's going to be more on the system that I've put in place for two different campuses in regards to how I was an administrator for a Title I school, and we were pushing kids in ISS and sending them home left and right. And that system of traditional discipline really didn't do a very good job of teaching our students and changing their decision making. And so based on my time as a dean and just the data that was obvious that what we were doing was not successful, it changed my perspective of like, how can I do this differently? So based on the trauma-informed practices and just me seeking a different practice, which I fell on restorative practices, that session is going to be more about, you know, what does restoration look like to a child, and how can a student really look at building a plan on how to right their wrongs? Because every decision a student makes, obviously it affects them directly, but there's indirect folks that are harmed by their decisions, and how can they go and restore those relationships?
Absolutely. What an incredible topic. I love that you're sharing that. You know, the question about what's exciting you right now, I think there's a number of things you could probably answer here, but what topic is out there in education that's really fueling your interest, fueling your fire?
So another interest of mine is technology. And I know we talked about relationships, and I think that's so key and obviously number one on my list of things that are important in education. But I think I'm excited because of the role of technology and how it's providing differentiation and self-pace to our students. So actually, I was just talking to another Teach Better member. Chad is going to be – actually, I just dropped that episode. He was on the Aspire podcast, and he was talking about the grid method.
Yeah, I listened to it this morning.
So he was talking about the grid method, and just everything that he was talking about just resonated with me, and it got me excited because I think we are seeing this shift in technology in regards to how are we meeting the students where they're at, and kind of building this model to break away from a system that is so boxed in. And what I mean by that is, you know, when we talk about science or math, when a student goes to that subject matter, they're only learning about that, and it doesn't relate and translate to other subjects, which is so foreign to how the real world works. And so it's fun to see all these different projects where there's collaboration and technology involved, and how students are finding problems and then not only discovering the problems, but then finding real world solutions and that connection that's made. So I think there's a shift going on in education that's exciting to me, because the whole reason I went into education was to change the structure that I was in myself. I felt like my own experience was sitting in rows, getting the instruction from a teacher for 40 minutes. The last 10 minutes was open up your book and do, you know, the odds. And I just feel like there's some of that still occurring, not as much. However, I feel like just in education in general, we can still make a huge shift. And I think technology is going to be a very important role.
Jeff, it sounds like we're going to be heading to Joshua's school to do a little teach for the grid method action.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what needs to happen. It was just shocking that Chad's talking about the grid method.
I know. Isn't that weird?
That's awesome. I didn't listen to the episode. I'm going to have to go listen to it now.
So. Oh, it's really good. Josh, you did a great job in interviewing Chad. I feel like there was so much in there that maybe I didn't even know that I loved learning about Chad through that episode.
Yeah, he shared.
Oh, now I definitely got to go listen to it.
He shared a lot, and I appreciate that because I know he was having a tough time, you know, for a period of time in his life, and through that struggle came great things. So it was really fun to actually listen to him.
Absolutely.
Now he works with Ray and I, so it's even more struggle, Josh. It's worse every day.
Well, it'll come with great things.
I hope so.
You know, Joshua, you've obviously shared a lot with us here for our short period of time, but also with your podcast and your administrative time and your leadership in education just in general. I don't know how you're going to quite answer the advice to give a teacher, because I know that you could share 1,000 different pieces of insight. But if we were talking specifically to a new teacher or a teacher that's looking to really begin their pursuit of better towards a progressive mindset, what type of advice do those teachers need?
I would say for any teacher, especially that I hire when they first begin, I just always say, don't be afraid to ask questions. And I think every new teacher says, oh yeah, I'll ask questions, but they're going to get to a point where they feel like they're asking too many and they're almost in the way or annoying, you know, just a lot of negative feelings in regards to asking questions because they just feel like they're doing it so much. And honestly, the people around you want you to be successful. They don't want you to feel overwhelmed or feel like you're drowning, because every new teacher is going to feel that. I felt that. I know you all probably did too when you first began, because it's just so much information. On average, a teacher makes about 1,000 decisions. So when you're going from very little decisions to be made as a student, and then you go into the classroom and then you have to make 1,000 to 2,000, then obviously that's going to be an overwhelming sense, and you're not going to know every single aspect of your job. It's just not possible. So you're going to really need to hone in on your team, your subject team, your, you know, if your campus does mentors. So you just need to get out and be able to ask those important questions, because through growth, we're going to learn through experience, but we also need that with the people around us to answer those questions, because a lot of times teachers don't even realize what they're supposed to be doing that are important. So it's mm-hmm. it's about growth mindset. You're going to have failures. That's natural. But don't be afraid to ask questions.
That's such crucial advice. I think we've talked about this a few times on here about teachers, just because of the bar that we set for teachers, and we have it. That's a lot of teachers get into the field thinking that they do mm-hmm. need to know everything, that they should already yep. know everything. And if I ask a question, they're going to think I didn't prepare. I didn't do well in school. I wasn't ready or whatever. And that's just not the truth. Like you said, people want you to succeed. We're all in this together. We're all trying to yep. do the same thing. And the power of asking questions is just absolutely crucial. So that's some awesome advice. That's a good advice for yeah. life in general, to utilize the resources you have and the people that you know exactly. in your network. So loving it. Speaking of questions, Joshua, I've got 6 for you.
All right.
And you've got 15 seconds or less for each to answer. You ready to go?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. What is one ed tech tool you cannot live without?
Ooh, I got a lot. Probably as administrator, Calendly. I think that saves a lot of time for me in regards to email. It's a scheduling program, so I use that often, especially with Outlook. We have an Outlook email service. So because of that, I'm kind of limited on different tools that I can connect to that. But Calendly is a lifesaver for me.
Give us a book that you're reading right now.
It's on my desk right now. The Coach Adventure by Amy Illingworth. And she's going to be on the podcast next for my Aspire podcast. So I'm reading her book right now.
Awesome. Who do we need to follow on Twitter or Instagram today?
Oh, goodness. Can I list 1,000?
Give me 3.
I'm going to cheat. Evan Robb, Sarah Johnson, and then these two are connected. And so I'm going to cheat. Nathan Maynard and Brad Weinstein. Those two do amazing work in regards to student discipline.
What's a good YouTube channel or website for educators?
Oh, YouTube, anything Todd Nisloney does, I'm watching on YouTube. He does the Tell Your Story series. I love his stuff. And then, honestly, Rick Bormelli, diving back into his work on YouTube and just his talks, and he's phenomenal. I just love that guy.
Give us a daily, weekly, or monthly routine every teacher should get into.
Everyone needs to create. Everyone needs to have a passion project. So my Aspire podcast is my passion project, but I feel like everyone needs to have something that they love and can connect with daily, because as a teacher or anyone in education, it can be a grind. And so you need something that you absolutely love, and you need to have your hands to touch on those and to create.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
This one's from my mom, actually. She said, in relationships, love is a choice. And so I think that connects really well with educators, because there are some days you may not like every student. However, it's a choice to go in and to love on them every single day.
Oh, that is good.
I love that one.
Hey, Ray.
Yeah?
What's your passion project? Do you have a passion project?
Yeah, it's called the Teach Better Team. Not sure if you've heard
it's
about
a new concept,
it.
Really.
It's good. I'm glad that's something that you're passionate about. That's good.
Are you kidding? I've thought about it all day, but I just want to go back to love is a choice. That was
yes,
powerful.
Very powerful. I would say that you could probably give Joshua the trophy, but he did cheat, so he's disqualified.
He didn't cheat. He just took 2 people and smushed them together.
Well, I guess we could look at it 2 ways. We could say he cheated, or we could say that he's smarter than us and beat the system. That might be what actually happened.
Ooh, that's the system. Joshua, I am packing up your trophy right now and putting it in the mail. You'll be receiving it in 5 to 10 business days.
You don't even have to send it, Ray. Just bring it to the conference. He's coming
to
the conference.
I'll see you in a little while.
You can hand deliver it.
I can't believe it's so soon. I feel like you're, Joshua, a perfect example of somebody who I keep saying that I'm going to have these like epic moments when I meet them for the first time. I feel like you're on my list of like, I'm going to try really hard. And Jeff has witnessed me doing this. I'm going to try and not be a fangirl when I meet you. I'm going to try and speak in full sentences. I'm going to stand on both my feet and not like jump around. I'm going to be an adult.
Is he a chair thrower or a jumper, Ray? Like,
well, he would be, but I don't want to freak him out. Like, I feel like Joshua might be like, oh man, that chick. I don't know that
Joshua,
I can deal
with.
Joshua,
we have an old joke. Like, when we talked to Mandy fairly for the first time, Ray joked about like when she saw her, she would jump or throw a chair to get to her. And she literally had to when we first met her.
That's funny.
So that's sort of the bar we set. Like, if she's willing to either throw a chair or leap over a chair, then you are. So you're on a level, man.
Wow.
Like, you're on a certain level.
Ray, I will find a chair just to put in your way, just to see that.
She typically just throws the chair at me. So, like, it's a whole other thing.
Either one's fine with me. That would be fun.
Well, Joshua, while I'm excited to connect with you in person while chair throwing, I want to make sure our listeners can also connect with you, even if they're not going to be at witness to that 10 seconds of awesomeness that will occur. Would you mind sharing out your Twitter, Instagram, website, literally anything in between that our listeners could connect with you on?
Yeah, I would love to. So on Twitter and Instagram, it's the same handle. It's Joshua_Stamper. And then my website is www.joshstamper.com. And then you can find the Aspire Podcast on Facebook, also at Aspire Podcast.
I love that Joshua is like, you know what? One underscore? No, that's for rookies. Nope. I'm going two.
It's got to be two. Two underscores. Yeah. It's got to be unique.
I love it. And you know, you can find all the links and all the resources and everything we talked about in this episode over at teachbetter.com, as well as those important links for connecting with Joshua, checking out his podcast, so you can leave him a rating and review and subscribe to it, by the way. All that's over in the show notes at teachbetter.com. Be sure to hit subscribe if I can speak tonight, so you don't miss any episodes. And then if you can give us a rating and review, we'd really appreciate that as well. And let's continue to take this one step further. Think of just three of your colleagues who need to hear these amazing stories and share it with them right now. Joshua, this was awesome. We were super excited to have you on. You did not disappoint. I am so thrilled to have you come out to the conference. And I'm going to tell you right now, if there's a chair in Ray's way, it's because I'm throwing it out of my way to get to you. Or a high five or a bro hug or something. So super excited, man. Really appreciate you coming and hanging out with us tonight, taking some time out. Just a huge thank you from us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you both.
And until next time, let's get out there and teach better.